Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast. The 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. For those of you in the Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. And you can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, we are proud to be joined, big fans of theirs, big fans of their program, huge fans of their booster club, as I think many have noticed, that some people have kind of joked with me about it, friendly jokes, of course. I am joined with Coach Bailey Perrine. She is the head women's soccer coach of the reigning 5A women's soccer state champions, the Dripping Springs Lady Tigers. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. Just enjoying 2 weeks post championship, so enjoying all the little moments.
Yeah, it has been 2 weeks. So has these 2 weeks, have they gone by fast, or have they felt like it's been a month in itself?
It's crazy to think that it's almost May, and I was typing out, you know, when we won, and it said April 16th. So it seems like April 16th is forever ago, but also like it was yesterday. So
right. So we'll get to that in a little bit more in a minute. I was going to ask you about that. But Coach, before we dive in, really kind of start asking you all these questions about, you know, the magical run, the season that was kind of last year that led to this season, and then the postseason, or as we call it here, the second season, right? Tell us a little bit more about you, your coaching background, and your program.
So this is my fourth year at Dripping Springs High School. Before that, I was an assistant coach at Westlake High School and in College Station at College Station High School. And this is my seventh year coaching overall. I played all growing up, and then in college, in high school, I tore my ACL and I decided that I wanted to just go to college. Very similar to all of my seniors this year. They all just want to go to college. And after a year or two of college, I realized how much I missed soccer and decided to change my major to math, because most teachers, coaches, soccer coaches are math teachers. Got my degree in math so I could have the potential and the option to coach anywhere in Texas. And I got lucky enough to get a job at College Station High School under Stoney Pryor. And those 2 years we were there, or I was there, we went to state. And so I got to experience that there. And then also Stoney Pryor is probably one of the best coaches in the state. He's won a football state championship at College Station as a offensive coordinator. And the head girls soccer coach, been to state twice. And then I got to go over to Westlake and coach under Andy Gorecki. He's over in the Houston area now.
Right.
And then, so I got to learn a lot from both of them before deciding to take on head coaching. And I happened to live in Dripping Springs when I was coaching at Westlake. And I happened to just look at the job. So when I got married in July of 2017, I got a call saying that Andy was going back to Houston. And so I started freaking out, like, oh my goodness, it's July. They're not going to be able to find someone to replace him this late. So I actually went to the Dripping Springs website to see if I could kind of steal Lindsay Abel from Dripping Springs to be a head coach at Westlake. And then I saw that her job was posted and it was linked to math. And so it kind of was a perfect storm of, it's July, so it's hard to hire coaches in July because there has to be a promotion. And so I don't know if I was the only candidate, but I was probably one of the few. And so I got lucky. I got very lucky. All of my experiences have kind of amounted to the right place at the right time. And then went in, applied, got the job like the week after I got back from my honeymoon. And
nice.
Then started working from there. And then 4 years later, won the state championship, with the girls that I kind of started the program with their freshman year. So it's cool senior class moment for sure.
That's awesome. So the perfect accident that was, right? You were here, you were going to another website trying to find, get information to maybe for another head coach at the school that you were, and instead you decide to apply?
Well, yeah, I mean, how often as an assistant coach do you see the head coaching job posted for the town you live in?
Right.
And with connected to the subject you teach. Yeah. So it seemed kind of perfect at the moment. I hated leaving Westlake, and what stunk the most about leaving Westlake was because I left in July and the other coach left in July, they asked me not to say anything until they found a replacement. And then once they found a replacement, my email didn't work anymore. So I didn't even get to like say goodbye to the girls or anything and kind of tell them what's going on. But luckily they still live pretty close and I got to see them, you know, throughout town, and it wasn't goodbye for forever. But right. it was a great group of girls at Westlake too.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty awesome coaching tree that you kind of derived from there. So that's a pretty exceptional list of mentors there. So here you are, you go from an assistant at a huge 6A school in Westlake that's kind of state and state and nationally renowned or known. And then you go to 5A Dripping Springs in a small, you know, I'm not going to say tiny, but a small hill country town of a 5A in a hill country town. Even though you lived there, what was that transition like?
It was very different in small town compared to Westlake. I felt like Westlake parents and students, even though it's, my husband went to Westlake and graduated from Westlake, so everybody knows each other, but everybody also knows how everything works and how to kind of navigate high school, and they've figured it out, and you know, Westlake is run like a small college. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's a really, really fantastic school. And then Dripping Springs is run more like a high school, which is also a really great thing as well. And so just kind of going back to more of a high school feel and small town and everybody knowing everybody. And honestly, more because Westlake is so big, at Dripping Springs, I felt like more kids got more opportunities in athletics. I guess there's like less people getting cut from sports, and then more kids getting more opportunities to start and play. It is growing though, because you know, everybody's moving out this way. Dripping Springs used to be a little secret. I feel like when I would tell people I'm moving out to Dripping Springs, they're like, all the way out there? And I was like, yeah, it's definitely really far, but it only takes 20 minutes to get downtown. And so it was kind of a best kept secret, but now everybody's figuring it out and coming out here and growing like crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm moving out that way, right? The 50
people
moving out, not quite where you are, but obviously in kind of the general area in the region for sure. So, so that's awesome, Coach. That's great to hear. So this was your first head coaching gig, and this was your fourth year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing, you know. To, you know, last week, you know, on the boys championship edition, I interviewed Coach, Coach Strong from Bernie, and he's kind of similar to you in his third year, only head coaching gig he's ever had. And is in his third year, he wins a state title. So in your case, it's the fourth year. So says a lot about you, says a lot about your program, the hard work you put in. But I will recommend, obviously, enjoy it, cherish it, because as you know, as you just found out how hard they are to win, you know, to just to get there. But to win it, you know, to get there and to win it, two different things. So enjoy it for sure, because nothing is ever guaranteed. No return trips are ever guaranteed. So, okay, Coach. So we're going to talk a little bit about this season now. So describe to us kind of your experience through, you know, you talked about this year we had, you know, we had COVID, obviously all those protocols, and then you had a major winter storm in there that kind of wreaked havoc on everybody in terms of scheduling and then having to compress schedules. And then you all play in a very, very brutal district on top of that. So kind of through all of those things and plus the injuries and everything else, describe to us in your own words kind of your experience through this season.
So last year, in the year of 2020, we honestly had a fantastic season. And I think we only had 5 goals scored against us, 1 loss to New Braunfels, a 1-0 loss. And you know, we were killing it going into playoffs. And I was shocked when COVID happened. And I think all the girls were, and I was just trying to keep them positive. We were doing workouts on Zoom and, you know, trying to just keep up the motivation and the excitement. But then it all got canceled. And I think this year they were taking every game as a blessing. And the seniors this year, they went to state their sophomore year, and it was basically a completely different team their junior year. And their junior and senior year, it was very similar. We had about three or four starters graduate, and then amazing girls filled in perfectly in those spots. But I think, you know, 2020 ending abruptly definitely gave them motivation to fight this year. And then the winter storm happened. So then everybody's in the same position, except for maybe Layman, because they actually got quarantined. So they weren't even, they were doing more than 3 games a week at some points, but everybody's playing 3 games a week, and it's still a brutal district. In our schedule, you play Canyon, Bernie Champion, us, and then Alamo Heights right back to back. And those are the top 4 teams that cut first, second, third, and fourth. So every team in our district plays in that order. And so some people, it was nice because if the winter storm happened on that week of your schedule, you got to reschedule that group of 4 in more of a nicer order for you. But at the same time, you're playing 3 games a week. So we weren't so lucky. We got back, and it was that Tuesday we played Canyon. So,
wow.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a great season. Obviously it was exciting. This year was, so 2 years ago when we went to state in 2019, I felt like every game I was like, yes, we won. So exciting. Going to the next one. Let me start planning. This year it was like, okay, I expect to win. And this is really stressful because if we lose, that's not my expectation. My expectation is to win. And so it was, when we won, it was like, okay, got to go to the next one. It wasn't as yay, we won. It was more, okay, what do I need to do to get ready for the next game and get prepared and make sure we win that one? You know, I mean, I guess every coach has that feeling, but I felt like the celebration was shorter lived this year. Also, it could be because when you win the 3rd round, you usually have a week to prepare for the regional tournament, and this you didn't. You only had a Monday,
right?
So that all could be part of it. But I definitely saw the potential in this group of kids and wanted to make sure that I did everything I could to get them to the next round.
You know, you hit on that, and you know, since you brought that up, I have asked other coaches this question, because I kind of want to get their take on it, especially now that we're a few weeks removed from the tournament. You mentioned we did not have every game was a standalone match. There was no regional tournament. There was no state tournament, right? No traditional state tournament. That swing and going into the, you know, the regional semifinal and the regional final, from the regional quarterfinal to the regional semifinal over that weekend. What was that like? Is that good or bad when you look back on it?
It's good because it's good and bad. So it's good because you get at least a little bit more of a break between the regional semifinal and the regional final, which is supposed to be a harder game, right? The regional final, instead of normally it's a Friday, then turn around and play on Saturday. However, I kind of like the regional tournament you know, when the seniors write their favorite memories, they talk about their sophomore year going to the regional tournament and staying in the hotel and getting all of those experiences and getting to be a part of that. And so that didn't happen this year. And I really wish that it could have. We didn't get any type of overnight trip this year. And then, but it also is, we do a lot of conditioning, and I pride myself or pride Yes, I pride myself on my team being one of the most conditioned teams in the state. And I do think that would play in our favor on a two, you know, a back-to-back game. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think the better team's going to win. Hopefully it should, you know, it should happen that way. Either way you do it. But it is nice to get the girls that experience in an away tournament. It was nice at the Cedar Park game. There were a ton of fans because it was in Austin, not McAllen. So next year, I think the regional tournament's going to be in McAllen. And so if it, you know, went the exact same way again, we're not going to have that many people travel, what I think like 6 hours to McAllen, and same with Cedar Park. So.
Right. And that's kind of part of the reason why I ask it too, because I think it's important feedback for coaches to give to, you know, to athletic coordinators, to their ISD, you know, athletic directors, to the UIL, because if it's something that we kind of, that they, you know, that we stumbled, that we realized that, hey, this is kind of a good thing, that kind of building in that extra week, so to speak, just because, you know, most districts this year had, they had kind of some buffer, some makeup day periods in their district. You know, it just depends how big your district is. But the other thing too was that, you know, and you're right. I think that it's a mixed bag because logistically it's kind of more travel. You're talking about two trips, two different locations. Whereas in the regional tournament, it's one, but also what you often find in tournament play, I discussed this as well, is, you know, that regional semifinal, just like the state semifinal, it's really an all in, right, committed to, hey, we got to throw everything we can to make the regional final or the state, you know, or the state final, state championship match. So oftentimes, and because they're such quick turnarounds, mm-hmm. you know, semifinals tend to be really good, and then those finals tend to be really ugly, really sloppy. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I agree. That's the same way in baseball. Like in baseball, a lot of teams like to, you know, some teams like to do a one game, and then some teams like to do a three game rally because one team might be a little bit deeper, and then one team might have an awesome pitcher. And so I got to see that at the state championship a few years ago. Alamo Heights had a fantastic pitcher, and they, you know, they had to put him in for the state semifinal game because they had to. They wanted to get to the championship, but then in the championship they lost because they didn't, you know, their best pitcher was out.
Similar
situation. I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I do agree with you on that. You're going to play, you know, your hardest. You're going to try and get up like three or four so you can play, you know, your subs and rest for the, you know, the championship game. But the likeliness of that happening at that level is not, you know, high.
Right. Right. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. And, you know, I think, I guess something to just think about and maybe mull it over with your athletic coordinator down the road for terms of input, because I'm hoping that the UIL will solicit that input, you know, or at least say, hey, you know, what did you think, you know, what was that like for you all? So no, it's good to know. And that's something that I'm making it a point to ask every coach that made that deep of a run, you know.
Yeah. So. What's the consensus? Do other coaches want to do the way that we did it this year, or do they like a tournament?
So far, every coach that I've spoken to has been, it's been pretty overwhelmingly, they liked this format where they, that extra rest, you know, because mm-hmm. it's not, you know, because I think oftentimes the decision makers don't entirely really understand the makeup and how, you know, how the grind of a soccer match. So these back-to-back regional final, you know, regional semifinal, final, state semifinal, state final, when you're at that point, oftentimes those finals, they're not, they I don't want to say that they're not worthy, but you just don't usually get the team's best, right? And because the game is so, yes, it is a contact sport, and yes, because it's physically taxing, you know, that's a quick turnaround and, you know, recovery time. That's the number one thing I think I've heard from coaches is the recovery time that they have, you know, the recovery time. So, so that's kind of been the consensus so far. Yeah. So, all right, coach. So first state title, you know, driving your program, what's it been like in the community so far?
It's been awesome. I mean, there's signs all over town saying congratulations, girls. Soccer, our big sign in front of our school has congratulations, girls, 5A state championship or champions. We're getting t-shirts made. We have our banquet on Tuesday. But I think the biggest thing is everybody keeps asking me, you know, when's the parade going to be? When are we going to be able to kind of do something in town? And so I think the community is really excited and waiting for, you know, that kind of information, because I do think in Dripping Springs every year we have this big event called Founders Day. And because of COVID, we haven't been able to do it the last 2 years. And it's a huge deal. Like people, it's bigger than homecoming or anything. Everybody, all the alumni come back and celebrate Founders Day. There's a bunch of live music, a ton of vendors, a parade, a carnival. And, you know, obviously I can't plan that, but if we could just get something, some type of normalcy, I think our community would be really excited for that and also get to celebrate a state championship.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you underestimate that incredible booster club of yours. I'm pretty sure they could
be able to
plan Founders Day in about an hour and be ready for, you know, plan out all of next season for you guys as well. So there you go. Hey, I did dub them at the time a couple episodes back during the playoff run. I think it was episode 3. I think it was of Inside Texas High School Soccer in our joint partnership with the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable and Coach Rafa. And I did dub your booster club as the best in the business. So
yes, they're really, really fantastic. I'm very lucky.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, Coach. So you know, one of the things that I hit on. That while we discussed, I mentioned it, it was kind of started with my take, but we had a good discussion on it in one of our episodes it would have been episode 4 actually. So for Dripping Springs, a small hill country town, to win a 5A state title in soccer, you know, so in terms of where the game is headed and how much the game has grown, kind of when you look at it, since you're living it, you're there, what do you think that means for a school and in a town the size of Dripping Springs to win a major state title at a 5A level, at the second highest classification in the state? What do you think it means? What does it say in terms of the sport?
Well, the sport's definitely growing in Texas. I think it's probably the fastest growing sport. And, you know, everybody wants to play it, especially girls. I think soccer and volleyball are kind of the biggest sports for girls right now. I think everybody, and it works out that they're in opposite seasons, so they can do both. But I think in our, you know, our town for sure, when I coached at Westlake, and I had to coach the middle school. And so I coached against this senior class at the middle school level in Westlake area. And I remember taking my Westlake girls out there, my Hill Country middle school girls, and being like, oh, we're going to kill Dripping Springs. Like, what is even Dripping Springs? And we went out there and those girls like demolished us. They looked huge. They had these amazing crosses. And my little seventh grade girls at Hill Country middle school were like, what's going on? And that's when I was like, okay, yeah, no, there's some soccer going on in Dripping Springs for sure. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's grown. I think, you know, the town just growing in general is going to bring more, you know, athletes out this way. But I think also I moved when I was in high school, I moved from Fort Wayne, Indiana to East Texas, and I played at Pine Tree High School. But before my parents bought a house, like when we moved down and looked around, I went through the newspaper and like looked at all the soccer stats and figured out, you know, what's the best high school in the area and where do I want my parents to buy a house? So I saw that Pine Trees, the team that won district and went the furthest in playoffs and got coach of the year and all the awards. And so I think right now, hopefully, I know, with the Statesmen and everything, there's a lot of move-ins. Every year I have two or three move-ins. And I think just people want to be a part of Dripping Springs. I think this town's got a lot to offer and there's a lot of talent in every sport. And so I think it just kind of works out. So I think, you know, we're close to Lake Travis area. And so a lot of our girls play soccer with the Lake Travis girls who are also really great at soccer. And so since it's more in the South Austin area, I think some club coaches are taking notice and having practice closer to South Austin instead of more in the Round Rock, Georgetown area. And so the girls don't have to drive so far.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know that's been one of the things that Dripping Springs has also been known for in terms of your high school is just the sustained level of excellence and high competitiveness in all your programs. So kudos to all the coaches and obviously kudos to the community. And of course your athletic director, your athletic coordinator there in the district and there at the high school. So coach, what we talk about, I wanted to highlight some of your players really quick. You know, we talk about a couple of your 2023s, your fabulous goalkeeper, Caroline Dill, who was voted the player of the match in the state title game, who played an incredible game, obviously your entire defense. And that was one of the things in terms of your style of play that I really liked to watch with, you know, because I started banging the drum for you all about the regional quarterfinal round. And because I just noticed that, you know, you go look at the stats and the stats don't, I think you all let up. There's either four or five goals this season total. And, you know, so very defensive oriented. If there was ever a team that defense wins championships would apply to, it was your program. Right? And, you know, and I, in that state title game, you know, against Wakeland, they really responded because you could tell it's almost like they gave up that first goal. And that was something that was very foreign to them. And then that's what kind of got them going. So, you know, we're talking about your goalkeeper, Caroline Dill, one of your other 2023s, and Talia Copeland, one of your forwards. Those are just a few that I've kind of highlighted a little bit. And I know, obviously, Caroline has been highlighted a good bit after that state title game. But one's a forward, one's a goalkeeper. How were they able to balance you guys out in terms of defense and your attack?
So a big thing is, you know, if the ball's on the other team's defensive half, then, you know, it's not in our defensive half. I feel like I've been watching a lot of the NCAA games right now, and they play very, very calm, but they're also very calm in their own defensive half, which is great, but I feel like our style of play is like, let's get it to our attacking half and then play calm. And
nothing wrong with that.
Right. But I think also our defensive line plays so calm under pressure because they know they have Caroline behind them and they're able to really, you know, slow the game down and win the ball out of the air and not worry about, you know, if their pass is going to be perfect, because if it's not and something happens, they have Caroline behind them and they know they can always like go back to Caroline. But with that, we score on transitioning quick. So honestly, I kind of like playing in the middle of the field and then scoring on a counter because we have Talia and Sophia Pacucci and Taylor Hodson are kind of our three forwards who have a ton of speed and are just really aggressive up top. And if you can feed them the right balls, they're going to score. So feel like, you know, our 11 field players are really, really talented, and our center mids are able to kind of feed those balls to Talia really well and out wide and able to attack with speed. And then our back line plays so calm because they have Caroline behind them, but also just because They have Riley Flores kind of there with the experience. But besides Riley Flores, it's two freshmen and a sophomore. Right. So yeah. Lainey Howe and Kaylee Howe are freshmen. Very, very fast, probably the two fastest girls on the team, with Talia being up there too. And then Hannah Gomez, there are times when I was like, pretty sure Hannah Gomez might be the best player on the team, best player on the field. She's an outside back and she's fantastic. So our back line, we didn't really practice a whole lot of defense because our back line was just really fantastic. And then I have Kylie Yardis that comes in anytime, you know, someone on the back line gets hurt, or Marianne Porter started all last year as a center back with Emma Jones, and just kind of, you know, they both come off of the bench for me and we don't lose a beat. So very, very fortunate group of girls for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, the other, and I know the objective obviously going into that state title game was to win the state title. I know a lot of people were also, the subplot there was also, you know, your defense and Caroline, could she pitch seven clean sheets, right? Seven shutouts and kind of make state history there. Obviously kind of that one went away the moment, you know, Wakeland got that first goal. So did you feel like that was kind of a bit of maybe weight off of Caroline's shoulders once that kind of happened? And because the team clearly settled in and kind of calmed down and started playing their game after that. Did you notice that?
So with Caroline, she watches film more than anybody ever. She sits in the front of the bus next to me and will watch film. And she says she takes every goal personal because she doesn't want any goals to go in on her. So she said that once she got scored on, she was like, no other goals. No other goals are getting scored on. So after every goal we get scored on, which, you know, was only, I think, seven, but they huddle up together, the girls that are on the field, because the clock stops. So we get a moment. It's kind of like a little timeout. And so they huddle up together. They kind of talk about, you know, what do we need to do now? What's the next thing? And they go and get it done. And so we had a plan before the game that, you know, if we went up, what were we going to do? What was our formation going to look like? If we went down, what were we going to do? What was our formation going to look like? And so we went down and they knew that they weren't going to be able to hear me change the formation. They knew what the formation needed to look like if we went down. And so we went three in the back as soon as we went down, trying to catch them on their heels. With front loading the attack. So we moved Riley Flores to a double holding. We went three in the back, one attacking. And then I think Riley Sisson was a double forward with Sophia Picucci. And then Riley Sisson's the one that scored. And then once we got the equalizer, we went back to the normal formation. And then same when we went up the goal, we knew to go to two holdings, four in the back, play a little bit more defensively. I'm not a huge fan of playing more defensively because playing more defensively means the ball's more likely going to be in your defensive half, which it was, I think, when we went more defensively. But it got Caroline some good looks when we're looking at the positives. But usually I play a more attacking kind of formation, but
it can be a good thing if you can quickly launch it, if you're really good at quickly capitalizing and launching a quick counterattack, which you guys were able to. So that was big for sure.
Yeah.
So coach, so clearly this was the longest season of your career, right?
by 2 days.
So did you, and I also asked this of our coach, did you feel because of how last year played out, and then just, did you feel this year, did you not just within your team or maybe not just within your community, but whether it be social media, across the state, just the news, whatever, did you feel like there was on the radio, what have you, did you feel like there was a higher level of excitement and coverage of the sport this season? Did you notice that? Did you feel that?
I felt that way for sure. I felt like more people took notice. Everyone was really excited. I feel like y'all's podcast, Lethal Enforcer and Flex ATX really helped hype soccer, and it got everyone really excited. I think also everyone was really just excited that playoffs were happening, and you know, you had something to go to and cheer on. Also, these girls are fantastic, and you know, the community, their schoolmates love them, their classmates love them. So we had a huge turnout every game. I think that's different than in the past. I don't know if it's not because they weren't, my past players weren't loved by their classmates. I think a lot of them had boyfriends, and so it was just, you know, the boyfriends up there. This year, I had 31 girls on the roster, and so just they're friends with everybody. And I think everybody is just really, really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I think the hype of the last 2 years, you know, you went to state in 2019, you were ranked pretty high in 2020, it got canceled. And so everybody knows there's a good chance we're going to win tonight. So if you want to see some good soccer, probably want to go watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So clearly there's high expectations there. There's high standards there at Jerking Springs, and that's a good thing. You kind of, as coaches, you know, we kind of, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a misconception. Coaches, we want to be in those environments. Coaches, we want that pressure, right? That's kind of a good expectation. But now, you know, now you all are, you're at the mountaintop, right? Now you're the king of the hill. Now you all have the target on your back. So,
absolutely.
You know, how do you get your girls to respond for next season, ready to go with that same hunger, that same fire, that same fight? Because now it's not about just winning it. Now it's because oftentimes it can be easier, and we know how hard it is.
Yeah.
To win one, but it can be easier to win one than to defend one, right? So, right. So what do you tell them now? How do you get ready in your mind, your notes, in your mind? You know, you're kind of all ready because that's how coaches are. We're kind of we're weird like that, right? We're all prepping for the next thing. Sure. What do you tell them?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is to remain genuine and to, you know, at the end of the day, it's about making them and building them to be great humans and contributors to society, and remembering that, like, that's at the core what we want to do as coaches. But I think these girls also learn a lot of lessons through failure. So if we can get a couple losses in the beginning of the season, and then they can understand what that feels like and then kind of build back from that. Not that I want to lose, but I'm not going to be scheduling, you know, like cupcake preseason games by any means. Like, I'm going to try and get some real competition and real challenges in there for sure. But I also think I've been trying to look into possible, you know, fundraisers or charity kind of events. Like, you know, we did everything we could for us, and we were able to make this amazing goal. What can we do further than that? Like, how can we take something, clearly past the sky is the limit. We reached this goal. What's another goal we could do outside of possibly a state championship? Could we help our community or help another community outside of soccer? Or how can we use soccer maybe to help something? So I'm trying to think a little bit bigger to inspire, possibly that will help bring the pressure down a little bit on state championship and more on hopefully bigger picture things that will keep the state championship as, you know, still a goal for sure and an exciting thing, but not end all be all, like the end of the world if it doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's really awesome to hear. And let us know if, you know, if the 50-50 podcast can help you all in any way, your partnership or something.
For
in
sure.
That process, as far as giving back to something, please let us know for sure. We'd love
Absolutely.
To help you. So, okay, so Coach, you know, as we start wrapping up here, you know, really one of the last questions I have for you is, and you kind of hit on it a little bit, you just alluded to it slightly, but what can we expect from Dripping Springs women's soccer next year?
I think a definitely competitive. I know of some great eighth graders moving up. So we have a fantastic JV group that are going to be competing for some spots on the varsity. I have 10 seniors graduating, but that doesn't necessarily, that mean 10 spots open up, because I had 28 on varsity, 31 I took to playoffs. So not really looking to add a ton of huge new names. So you'll see a lot of the same group, solid group coming back, and hopefully taking charge and going at it again. I mean, this year I had 8 out of 11 girls never playing a playoff game before this year out of the starters. And so now what can we do with the experience? Now we have a year of experience, and not only experience at every game. So will it help the nerves a little bit? Will it help the girls prepare more and then kind of go in a little bit different mindset? I don't know, but I would like to think so.
Yeah. And I did want to hit on one other thing. I did want to say kind of kudos, a really cool story on your midfielder, Avery Davis, with winning a state title this year with you all, obviously, and then her mother winning a state title with San Antonio Madison back in the day. I won't say when, because I don't want her to get mad at me. Right? I don't want to get mad at me. But so, Coach, this has been great. We really appreciate having you on. Any final words before we go ahead and call it a day? Anything you want to share with anyone, or any shout-outs, anything?
Well, definitely shout out to my assistant coach, Kim Harlow. She was my rock solid, helping me get through everything, every game, knows everything in and out about the program as well. And then these seniors are amazing. There's about three or four that have started their career that didn't get to even play in the state championship game, that were just amazing leaders. And they wrote, you know, what their favorite memories are. And they're still like that state championship game. And they're like, they know that they are the reason that we were there, and they built it, and they gave their teammates the confidence to get out there and kick booty. And they're not jealous. They're not mad. They're not, you know, that they're not getting those minutes, and they're just genuinely so excited and so happy. And, I mean, that's really what it takes to go all the way, is to every player kind of owning that role and killing it. And so the senior class is super special to me. And the banquet on Tuesday is going to be a little emotional. But I love those girls. I love all the girls for sure. But the senior class is extraordinary and special for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, no, that's great to hear for sure. So, again, Coach, congratulations on your 5A state title this year. I know we can expect big things from you all next year and in the coming years, and especially while you're there as well. So kudos to you. Kudos to your program, your booster club, your entire community. Make sure you stop to still enjoy it. thank you again for everything, Coach. We appreciate you. Thank you for being with us here on the 50-50 podcast. We'll look forward to having you down the road, maybe next season, as a recurring guest. So,
all right. Well, thank you.
Appreciate you. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.